Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley here with me. If you're watching live, you can see him. He's sports editor of the Union Tribune. Ostensibly, he's my boss. So I love that word, ostensibly.
Ostensibly. Nominally is my word.
Padres Dodgers, three games at Petco Park, starting a six-game homestand. Padres coming off a 4-2 trip. It was a real good trip, real good trip. Now, had we done the podcast, how many times did we say this? Were we doing the podcast one game earlier, like, you know, the world would be ending. But, you know, Dylan Cease pitched like he pitches. Padres scored some runs, like, you know, they score runs, which is, hey, when they need to, even if there's only one or two innings, then that's kind of how they do it. And now they're at 500. That's great. Where would you like to start, Ryan?
Can we start about talking about pitching? Cease puts together, I mean, I would argue alongside the Michael King near no hitter earlier this year, one of the best two pitching performances by a Padre this year. Oh, yeah. The pitching staff that we were very concerned about when we talked last time delivered. You saw a pretty good spot start there by Randy Vasquez. The bullpen holding up fairly well. And then again, a solid start from Dylan Cease. Where are they, Kevin, and can they keep this up?
Man, this is really how it's gone, where a week, a good week, a bad week, a good week, a bad couple games, a good few games, a bad week. That's kind of been the starting pitching staff. The bullpen started out a little slow, then had this like 2-3 weeks of really good. I think that was the period of time, but really good, like best in baseball in many of the areas. And then, you know, really been okay, but overworked. And this is how it goes. It's ebb and flows to relievers. They pitch a lot. And you know, it's always high profile, right? Like a pitcher, you know, Yu Darvish can give up 4 runs in 3 innings against the Cubs. Padres come back and win 9-8. And we forget who's the starting pitcher in that game. The bullpen guy gives up a home run in the ninth, and we remember it for the rest of our lives. So, you know, and look, that's the job. But I still think it's a concern. I thought it's a concern like most of the year. And if we're talking starters specifically, you got Dylan Cease in case, well, you got him so that you could win playoff series, so that you could have three guys that really virtually every time they started, you felt like we got a chance to win today. Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease. But Dylan Cease was also insurance in case both those guys weren't at 100%, weren't everything that they've been in the past. And guess what?
They haven't been.
Good thing, because Yu Darvish went on the IL after a sort of a shaky start, and now Joe Musgrove is on the IL after a sort of a shaky start. So that's where they're at.
Right. You wrote the other day that Dylan Cease is their ace, and I hate putting labels on things, but he is at this point, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, and it was, you know, I think I said Dylan Cease, the Padres ace, they will welcome competition for Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish to try to, you know, step up or step back into that role or something where you're going like you have multiple quote unquote aces. I don't know that there's more than if we're going to use ace and we're thinking Randy Johnson type. I don't know that there's, you know, 3 or 4 aces in the game right now. Right. But yeah. I shouldn't have said Randy Johnson because there's not a Randy Johnson in the game right now. But anyway.
If you were starting right now at this point in the season, if you had one game that you had to win,
Right. And so I don't know how many of those guys truly, right, that you have now in the game. But your staff's ace, Dylan Cease, and certainly pitches like he has, well, not just that day on Wednesday at Wrigley Field, but a few times this year. And that guy is an ace. I mean, so an ace does it 24 times a year out of his 33 starts. He goes out there and the other team could not touch him, basically. Right. That's an ace in my mind, right? But Dylan Cease, man, wow. Like, and he's introducing like a new pitch. Statcast said he had a knuckle curve on Wednesday. I didn't get a chance to, but it's like every game there's this pitch that Statcast, you know, furrows its brow and goes, what is that? And so that's something that, you know, guys come to the Padres, they get with Ruben Niebla and they start working on new stuff. But just the fastball slider is enough for that guy. And when he's on like he has been, that guy's the ace.
Right. He's an interesting cat too, isn't he? Just to talk to?
He is. He's very matter of fact, but can be very thoughtful. And he is a very interesting guy.
Very cool. Randy Vasquez, I saw some stats the other day that just jump out at you. I mean, this is a guy, stuff alone, man, it looks like it plays. He hasn't really had the results. I mean, certainly his best outing as a Padre came the other day. What have they seen from him, and where do they envision him sort of fitting in long-term?
Randy Vasquez is the kind of guy, like, and I hate to say it like this, but because it's not a dime a dozen, but it's how often do you hear about a guy, right? Like, that's really good. Like, wow, look at that stuff. And he just doesn't become a starter like his stuff says he could, right? Like a number three starter, right? Randy Vasquez might become that guy, but there are also all sorts of guys that are just, you know, Randy Vasquez's.
You don't get to the big leagues without stuff. Right.
Right. And so I'm not trying to like put down, like, your question is spot on. Like really, like, this guy could be that guy, but will he? I don't know. I mean, the command was there the other day. Still too many pitches to give them more than whatever it was, 4 1/3, or is that what it was? Mm-hmm. They like when we're talking about the bullpen and how there've been some really shaky performances. Remember, Yu Darvish gave him really nice start when he came mm-hmm. back, but it was 5 innings.
Right.
And Matt Waldron went 3.
Right. Right.
And the next day, I think Vasquez went 4 right. and a third. The bullpen is covering a lot of innings. Right. And, you know, that's just a big weight on them. Now, they got a day off yesterday, and good thing, because the Dodgers are coming to town, and we'll talk about that. But that's like a silly team, the Dodgers. Yeah, Vasquez, I thought it was very, very encouraging. I wrote about that in the newsletter that, you know, you try to take things, and that's where the place for the newsletter and this format, the podcast, is talk about things that aren't just wins, losses. And I thought out of that game, that was a nice positive development by Randy Vasquez.
Right. And this is a guy, we talk about this, it seems like every week. Kevin, if this was 10 years ago and you had a guy with Randy Vasquez's stuff, maybe you're selling t-shirt jerseys, right? Like, it's different because this year's Padres team will not be auditioning dudes mid-season, right? Yeah. I mean, this is not a learn-on-the-fly kind of franchise, right? At least when it comes to pitching.
Did we talk about it here after a rise? Like, the next move will probably be a pitcher. I mean, they're not going to wait around forever. They're not going to, like, you know, Mazur could come up, right? Like, maybe they move Brito into that role. It's something they're considering. But, like, they don't have time. This is no longer like waiting for the waves of talent. You know, they will go get a pitcher. Now, they'd really rather not, because those don't come cheap, both in prospect capital and the remaining money in the payroll. You know, you'd really like to get it down to where by the time you got that guy, if you have to get him, you're paying like $4 or $5 million of his salary,
right?
Not 10
right.
or 12 or something like that.
Paying less than half a full year's salary for,
and I say that just so that we, you know, just I wanted to tamp the brakes on it. I'm not saying they're going out and getting someone, but I've been talking about it for a while that, like, this is, yeah, they're not waiting around. They're not looking for development. Now, everyone's developing, but they can't do that this year.
Right, right. You brought up Luis Arraez, and I think that I'd love to ask you a couple questions about the story that ran in today's paper. Really cool. You went in the clubhouse, you talked to a bunch of different teammates about sort of what their first impressions of Luis Arraez are. And I mean, they all seem pretty blown away by this guy who has this one very specific skill that almost nobody in Major League Baseball has or prizes any, right? I mean, it's a different, it's not like having a knuckleballer in your starting rotation, but it is. I mean, this is something that guys just don't do. And Kevin, just watching on TV, to me, it's appointment viewing. Because he's so different from everybody else on their team. What are the first impressions of him, and what are your first impressions of him as a player and then off the field too?
I mean, he's a really good guy. I'll go off field first. All right. He's a really good guy. Everyone said that, and he's just a nice human being. And I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And I think other people are too. Like, it's not a home run, right? Like, but it's a skill that, like, is lost. It's a skill that's not prized as much. Home runs get you paid, but Luis Arraez is not a big dude who's going to hit home runs. What he is an incredibly skilled hitter, and he can hit the ball anywhere. It really is amazing. I thought it was awesome. I mean, he loves Dylan Cease. He broke up Dylan Cease's no hitter with 2 outs in the ninth inning in September of 2022. They competed against each other, White Sox Twins. what was it, 3 or 4 years in the AL Central. Cease has said, and I think this was a quote, I couldn't find it anywhere, but I remember it being said about Tony Gwynn, whether it was Greg Maddux. I know people said it about Ichiro. So here's what we're putting this guy on. And a little bit of it is, I'm not saying Luis Arraez is headed to the Hall of Fame, but a little bit of it is because of, like you said, where we're at the game, that it's, he reminds people of those guys. But this quote that pitchers would say about those two guys, Ichiro and Tony Gwynn, was might as well just throw it down the middle and hope they get themselves out. Because otherwise, you're going to be 6-7 pitches in. He's going to get a hit on some nasty slider down and away that you know thought was going to would strike out 98% of other batters, and he's going to get a bloop single to left field. And so you might as well just throw it down the middle, and maybe he's going to hit a line drive to someone. Right. And that is, to me, like, wow, like that's a rare hitter.
Well, and that's one of the things that Dylan Cease told you, which is like, you know, why waste energy? Why waste, if you're going to throw 100 pitches in an outing, right? Why waste 10 of those trying to get a guy out like Luis Arraez? Well, you could throw a first pitch fastball and just see what he does with it, right? It saves you the aggravation, saves you the bullets, which I thought was interesting. To me, the best little detail in your story, Kevin, is that he travels with a tee and a miniature bat.
Well, the short bat, right.
The short bat, right. Yep, the short bat, which is not a miniature, not a souvenir.
Yeah, I didn't want people to think like the little one, like you probably have, Ryan, that they actually used to hand out at games. They were giveaways. Yeah, but
before people started beating each other with them. what a world we live in today. But yeah, you're right. He travels with the short bat and a tee and FaceTimes with his personal hitting coach.
Yeah, it'd be like if you were watching me writing right now. Oh, Kevin, well, the pinky finger, you're not using it right in the QWERTY. That's what you would do.
And I know that baseball is an individual sport in so many ways, and that a lot of these guys have their own personal instructors. But the image of a guy with a backpack on, and he pulls out of it a tee and a mini bat, and he's in his hotel room essentially going through it, shows you a level of dedication that probably explains why this guy's so well-liked.
And yeah, I mean, for sure. And then the results because of that he, at least he feels that way, I'm sure it is, that just reminds him of what he's supposed to do. So that, and this is almost like a duh moment. And I took it out of my story after typing it, like, because it felt like I wasn't explaining it properly, because duh, that's what practice is about. Like muscle memory, you know, and all that stuff. Like, but it's so that when he goes in the game, it's just what he's doing. And actually, that has been a big, huge part of the teaching that has gone on this year, like with Victor Rodriguez as the new hitting coach. And I don't want to overlook the other new hitting coaches, or the fact that Morgan Burkhart is still working with hitters. And obviously, Morgan Burkhart, players love him. But like Victor Rodriguez's thing is, don't think when you're out there. In this era of when we're guys are so focused on their mechanics. They have so much data and video that they're constantly thinking of how it's no, but we're going to do these things so that's basically the only way your body works.
Right.
And that you're not thinking when you go out there. You're just playing to win what needs to be done in this moment. And so that's what Luis Arraez is all about as well.
Right. Let's talk Dodgers. LA comes to town. This is their first trip to Petco Park this season. First time for Padre fans to see Shohei Ohtani in person. And I mean, the Dodgers were struggling to start the season by their standards. And that lasted like a week and a half. Now they're back to being the big dog on the block. However, whatever term you want to use for a bully of a team, that's who they are. Take me through the pitching staff and what we're looking at.
This is a ridiculous thing I'm going to say, but just to illustrate where they're at, they're 13 games over 500. So I think they could go like 3 or 4 under the rest of the way and make a wild card spot.
Right.
I mean, like, obviously, that's not what they're shooting for, what they're going to do. But like, and then, you know, heck, maybe it would work for them, right? Like, don't get 110 wins and get out in the first round. Maybe that would work for them, right? Sneak in as a wild card. But that's just, it's preposterous. You talked about when they were struggling, and I went and I remember looking back then during this time. I think they lost 7 of 9. And right now, they've won 7 in a row, have not lost since April 30th, and have won like 14 of 16. But there was a time they lost 7 and 9 and whatever they were at, 1 over or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and the top of their order wasn't doing great.
Right.
That's how they were built, is right. for their kings to rake. Okay. And now it's preposterous. They have six everyday players with an OPS of 844 or higher.
Oh my God.
The Padres have two, Jake Cronenworth and Jurickson Profar, who are in the eights. Mm-hmm. Jurickson might be up in the nines now. The Dodgers have Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani, who lead the majors in offensive war, both have an OPS over 1,000. Freddie Freeman is kind of struggling back there at like 850. Freddie Freeman still getting on base at like a, you know, whatever it is, 380 clip. Like it's, I don't want to bog this too much down with stats, but just go take a look at like the on base leaderboard. So you're talking about the top three guys who have the ability, especially the first two, Betts and Ohtani, to put the ball out of the yard, but are also all three getting on base at close to a 400 clip. Like it's unbelievable. And I say, look, listen, that's how the Padres were built too. That's the problem here.
Right. Right. When we talk about why are the Padres struggling, it's because the guys who they are paying to be their Betts and Ohtani and Freeman aren't playing like Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman are, right? I mean, when you look at Bogarts, Machado, and Tatis, on paper, maybe they're not quite Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, but they're in the conversation.
And it's how they were built, right? Like they're to be their teams, Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman.
Right. And they're just not. And
it's not like it's ridiculous to put them in the conversation, because I suppose you could. No, you couldn't. But like every team has their best players, right? But like this team was built for the studs to carry it. And it's why every time that I've written about, not every time, but when I've focused on how good the bottom of the order is doing, or how great it is that Jurickson Profar is doing what he's doing, there's a flip side to that, because it's not supposed to be that important how the bottom of the order is doing. Or how Jurickson Profar is doing. You need those guys to contribute to win games. The way you win a lot of games is by Xander Bogarts, Manny Machado, and Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting better.
Right. And I know that we talk about this a lot. You cannot expect these guys to continue to play the way that these guys. You cannot expect Cronenworth and Jurickson Profar to carry your team all year. If they are carrying your team all year, that is a problem. For starters, one. Two, yeah, if the big guys don't step up, I mean, it's going to be a long year. The thing that I think about a lot watching this team is they're getting massive performance from players that you weren't counting on, right? We're talking Profar, talking about Merrill, talking about Cronenworth to a lesser extent. Campusano has been great. Robert Suarez has been unhittable. They're a 500 baseball, right? What happens when those guys inevitably, right? Because they probably will, because that... You are what the back of your baseball card says.
Well, Merrill is already, I mean, I don't want to say like regress. We don't know what his history is, but he's back down, right?
Right, but he's back down, right.
And no one has been a bigger proponent of what Jake Cronenworth brings to a team than me. But I don't know that he's an 850 OPS guy, right? Like, so you're totally spot on. And look, the Padres should be much better. And if I had to pick one reason they're not, because I mean, there's some nights that, you know, they just haven't had a chance because their starting pitcher has given up a lot of runs and given up a lot of runs early. If I had to put one biggest reason why the Padres are 500, it's their pitching.
Yep.
But we're talking globally here, and we're going to say that their pitching is going to be better because it's supposed to be. So let's just say that it is.
Right.
The big worry right now is Manny Machado, who is basically at his same numbers as last year. And look, I think Manny Machado is going to get better. But now we're going on 2 years at 31 years old that he's had the same numbers in May. So, Xander Bogarts finished really strong last year, as strong as any Padre. Back to what he has been. And let's not forget, like, six silver sluggers. Or was it five? Five, whatever. It's kind of a lot. As a short.
Six sounds better. Anyway, yeah.
It does. So, like, good hitter. But, like, since he's been with the Padres, like, so you start to ask, well, is this? Fernando Tatis Jr., far too early to put him in those two guys' categories since he's 24. But, like, so last year, came back, good numbers, but not statue contract numbers. So far this year, good numbers, not statue contract numbers. So now, like, it's just – every passing month, year, whatever, it becomes less and less easy to just get to go, oh, they'll be okay.
Right. Manny Machado was the guy who says, you know, we are what the back of what the numbers on the backs of our baseball cards say we are. Right. That was him. If the back of his baseball card says that last year was not a good year for him. Right. The back of Xander Bogaerts' baseball card says that last year was not a good year for him. And Kevin, I think as we wrap here, rather than put you on the spot, because it's a Dodger series, I think there's a lot to talk about. Let's talk about the conversation you had with the other day about what he is going through and the frustration. And, you know, there was we used a parenthetical instead of a word that he used in there. He seems frustrated. He's expressing that in colorful language. What's going on in his head? And have you seen this before with anybody through the years?
A player of that caliber who has been able to right himself. He's been a man of streaks, and not like Eric Hosmer streaks, but he's been a man of streaks where, you know, 350 for a while, 250 for a while, 300 career average, like, you know, that kind of thing, right? This is extended. There's not an injury. He swears it's not second base. I'm not entirely convinced that he's not like spending, you know, a lot of bandwidth and also physical, effort on second base, and that may, but like, probably no, if the guy is struggling. I don't know exactly what it is. I understand that there is a problem with his swing path, and that he thinks he has it figured out, and then he does the same thing over and over and over in games, and he's just like, he's like, bro, just I'm watching the same stuff, and it wasn't the word stuff as you alluded to. I love Xander in terms of another really good human being, and I love him in terms of his candor, and he tries to explain things, and he kind of can't explain this one. And he's a guy who works really hard. People have written about this, worry that he works too hard. And he's really hard on himself. You know, he goes back and I mean, it's amazing what they have at their fingertips to watch of themselves and opponents in their hotel room. And he watches and he watches, and it's like me. I can't watch myself on on this or recording. Like, I'm just a cringe. And that's what he feels like when he's watching himself hit right now.
Well, they just traded for a guy who can play second base. Is it possible that they say to him, hey, just go get right. Don't worry about the pivot at second base. Don't worry about getting out of the sliding base runner's way. Just worry about getting back to you. Or is this me projecting?
It's possible. And I've thought about it. We may have talked about it. I don't think it's unheard of. I've asked and the answer was no, but you know, things do change. Also, people do not tell the truth sometimes, but my impression was that's not the case. It is certainly not what Xander Bogaerts would prefer. And so, no, but it's like at some point when you start getting into unprecedented territory, then sometimes unprecedented moves or things that you didn't think you'd do become part of the solution. So I don't think you can rule anything out right now. And especially like, man, the amount of times that you learn doing my job over a long period of time when you can sort of predict something or when things are handled a certain way. And that still is the case with the Padres. But the amount of times they'll surprise me because of their thinking outside of the box is sort of astounding. More than ever in my career with the way that they go about things. And I want to say like it's an AJ Preller driven sort of thing. I can't rule that out.
Yeah. It's wild. All right. 3-game series. Friday night is Tyler Glasnow versus Michael King. Saturday, James Paxton versus Matt Waldron. Sunday, Walker Buehler, because he's back, because of course he's back, against Yu Darvish in what looks like a very good pitching matchup.
If there is their bullpen's beat up. They just got back Blake Treinen, I believe, but like Phillips is out, Joe Kelly's out. So if there is a thing that the Dodgers deal with, their bullpen. But, you know, you got to get past Glasnow, right?
Right. Right. You ever see, Kevin, you ever see Star Wars? I'm not a Star Wars guy, but I've seen it. You a Star Wars guy at all?
Well, I mean, I have been alive since the first one. But, yes, I'm not a Star Wars guy either. But,
It's like blowing up the Death Star, Kevin. If you can fly one little thing into this one little slot, maybe you can beat him.
And then just like that, you still don't beat the Evil Empire, right? Because weren't there like 40 more movies? Because like at the end of the first one, I'm pretty sure, because I was like seven, you know, we all cheered, the Death Star blew up, and then they had like 40 more movies. So it's basically impossible to kill.
There is a very, very narrow path to victory just because the Dodgers are that good. But hey, this is why they play the games. I'm sure Petco Park will be filled 3 days in a row, and see if the Padres can climb above 500. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey. I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.